is a Woodside Church podcast.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. A little bit of rearranging to be done. I've never put the baptistry away so quickly. I was panicking. How long will Gary's song be? I'm sweating. I'm hot. I'm a mess. So you have to bear with me, get my voice back. My voice is here. My breath, maybe not. What a wonderful morning we've had this morning already. Have we all had just a wonderful time? In a sense, I've got the easiest job in the world because we've worshipped, we've seen the work of God through people's lives, through stories, and that, to be honest, is probably way more interesting than I've got to say anyway. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful time together. We're just going to start by reading from Mark 16, verses 5 to 6, and it says this. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." Jesus has risen. This is good news, and we're here to celebrate that this morning. And this morning, we are going to be all in together. So I know kids and youth, you're also in. Hopefully, it's exciting and entertaining for you as well. If you're a kid or maybe even youth as well, you should have got a sheet of paper with a bit of an outline for a poem. If you don't have one of those, I believe Matt's in the small hall. He'll be able to grab you one. It will just have Christ down the side. That's for you. And there are also some Easter eggs to be won, okay? So this is for you. When I say some, I mean a lot of Easter eggs to be won, okay? So today I'm going to do preaching, and it's called You, Us, and the Cross. Okay, this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. But before we just get into that, if you are new or old here, I want to say welcome again. I'm so excited that you're here. What a day to join us where we've all been family together. There's going to be ways to celebrate afterwards with refreshments as well. So just hear it from me. A huge, huge welcome. I'm Ollie. I'm part of the family here. Look after the youth work and various three other things. So that is me. And I just want to say again, they're not here, but to those who got baptized, well done. It's not an easy thing coming on the stage, even just looking at all you smiley but kind of scary faces. I still get nervous about it, so if you've never done it before, they did so well, and we're here to celebrate them and the good news that Jesus has risen. So we are going to actually not look at an extract from the Gospels this morning. We're going to explore the meaning of Easter and the resurrection using a psalm, okay? And this is my favorite psalm. When I found out I was preaching on Easter, I was like, great, I'm going to use a psalm. And we're going to use Psalm 103. It's going to come up on the screen, and I'm going to read it to you now. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. This is one of my favorite psalms, and I just think there's so much to unpack. And if you've been here over the last few weeks, you will have heard David preaching on the restored church. But last week, he looked a little bit about our identity, now that we're not in sin, but rather we're in Christ. And actually, all we're going to explore today is about our new identity as believers. That is the case because of what happened on the cross and Jesus' resurrection. So everything we look at today is a result of who we are because Jesus rose again. Okay? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to actually, because I'm a youth worker and I thought, how can we make it a little bit creative? We're going to work through an acrostic poem. Okay? So I think we've got the outline coming up on the screen, maybe? So we're going to work through the word Christ and look about our new identity in Christ because of the resurrection. And we're going to work through that, picking apart Psalm 103. So there's lots of moving parts, but in my head, this really works. Okay? So bear with me. Now, if you're a child, you have also, in your kids' work, been looking at Easter, the cross, and the whole story. So this is for you guys too. In youth, we've been looking at the meaning of the cross. This is a whole family thing we're going to push into. And if you have a sheet, you can do one or two things. You can either work through with me, or if you're feeling brave enough as a kid, I want you to guess what those letters stand for. And the closer you get, the more chance you have of winning an Easter egg at the end. Okay? So if any of you get all six of these words about our new identity because of the cross, to be honest, if you get it exactly right, I'll give you more than an Easter egg, because that's impressive. This was worked on quite a few times, but see if you can work through with us. Okay? So, does anyone have an idea? We're going to run a bit of a competition. Does anyone have an idea what the first word could be? I know you're kind of coming in right from the start. Beginning with C, what is a new identity? What do you reckon? Church. That's a great idea. We are church. Actually, we're going to come back to the end. It's not the word, but it is correct. We're going to have a lot of that. It's not the word, but it is correct. I tell you what, as you are the first bravest one, you can have an Easter egg right at the start, just to honor you. Come and grab one. I'm feeling generous. Don't eat it if you're allergic to it. Please be generous. Give it away. But as you were the bravest one, I don't have an Easter egg for everyone who raises their hand, by the way. Yeah. But Isla, what do you reckon? Clean. Is that what you said, clean?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's also right. I know. Oh, man, I've messed up here. That's also right, but it's not the word. Chosen. Tabs, well done. Was it you who said that?
Yeah.
You're too old to get an Easter egg. They're for the kids. Okay. Sorry, that was bad. So we're going to look at chosen, then we'll do the next words, okay? So chosen. Looking through Psalm 103, we see something really interesting, okay? We see in it say that it's who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires. Especially in the first six verses, okay, there is such personal language here. This is what God, yes, he does it for everyone, but he does it for you. This is a personal God, one that is no longer far away, but draws close, and he's chosen you. If we are in Christ, because of the cross and the resurrection, if you are in Christ, you are chosen. It means you're also called and you'll fulfill specific roles in the kingdom, but you are chosen. And within that relationship, he knows us intimately, and there's an opportunity for us to know God intimately and push in. We heard from the testimonies about them first reading a Bible, discovering more for themselves, not even because their parents do it, but because they wanted to do it. All of that is working out how we are chosen and called to be in Christ. The first thing of our new identity is that we are chosen. Okay. What about H? Does anyone have an idea for H? Mattis? Holy, first time, fantastic. I'm going to throw it over you, Ruth. Oh, she's stolen it. Oh, that was bad. That was mean. Holy. We're going to look at verses. It won't come specifically up on the screen. But in verse 4, we say that we're crowned with love and compassion. In verse 6, it says that God works righteousness for all the oppressed. And verse 8 says the Lord is compassionate and abounding in love. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross needed to happen for us, okay? Before, hold on with your hands. I know I'm very excited to hear your ideas, okay? Before Jesus and the sacrifice, priests continually had to be making sacrifice to enter into the presence of God and develop that relationship. But when Jesus died on the cross, one sacrifice was made for all time. Okay, Hebrews 10:10 and 14 says, God's will for us was to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. What's important is God desires for us to be holy. It's part of us becoming more and more like Christ as we are in Christ. Okay, here we are going to be made righteous, set apart. If you're in Christ, you'll be righteous, set apart, and we're continually being made holy. This isn't a Jesus rose and now we are instantly all of these things. Actually, holy is something that we're continually going to be made more and more like. We are going to be continually made holy. So that's our H. onto R. Oh, there's, how am I going to pick all the hands? Oh, no, I feel so mean. Go on, boys, at the front. Righteousness. I mean, that's right, but you are wrong, unfortunately. I'm sorry. That was actually in draft two of the preach, and I moved righteousness off the list. So you're nearly close. If I have one spare, you might be able to have one. Roof. Redeemed. Someone's been reading the psalm. Fantastic. Verse 4 says, he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. You absolutely get a chocolate. I'm not feeling confident enough to throw it over all of those people. So come and grab it. Oh, well done. I don't want to paper cut anyone's eye. Well done. Redeemed. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. If you're in Christ, because of the cross, you are redeemed. Okay, it says, when we were born in sin, as David was talking about last time, we were born in sin or in Adam. But now, because of the cross and the resurrection, we are in Christ. The psalm says our life was going in a very specific direction. It describes it as towards the pit. Actually, you could describe that as anywhere with away from God. But when Jesus went to the cross, it all changed. Okay, it all changed. Our destination of death changed, our crown of thorns changed. Because of this, we are here today, redeemed, and instead of being crowned with thorns, it says we're crowned with love and compassion. So there's a huge change here, okay, and we are not destined for the pit, but we're destined for life with Christ. I saw something on social media, maybe on Good Friday, and it says, before Christ, we were facing a hopeless end, but because of the cross and resurrection, we now have endless hope. Isn't that really powerful about how we've been redeemed, our destination has been changed, and that is for everyone who is in Christ, our new identity because of the resurrection. Okay, now for I have to say I is a little bit suspect from me, but we'll see if anyone gets it. Abdul reckons he has it. Okay, you forgot, that's okay. Over there. Identity, oh, that's such a good one. It's not quite right, but it's such a good one. Oh, no. I'm going to be the most hated person in church. Yes. Sorry? Inheritance. Oh, they're doing a better job than me. Oh, man, that's not also right. At what point do I just tell you guys and stop being mean? Incarnation. Oh, I mean, you're putting me to shame. I should have bought way more Easter eggs. It's all fantastic. You've all done such a good job. I'm going to clear this one up. This is a bit of a cheap. Okay, one more. Immortal, not quite. We're talking about being in Christ. Okay, I know it's a bit of a cheat. I've said that loads of times. I'm sorry. All of your ideas would have been better. I should just walk out now. Oh, I just want to curl up into a ball in the corner and hide from you all. But we are in Christ. This summarizes our whole poem. Let's frame it like that. Verses 12 says he's removed our transgressions from us. And verse 4 says he's forgiven all your sins. Again, there's no bigger difference than our relationship with sin when we're in Adam or in sin than in Christ. Actually, the distances that this psalm talks about are immeasurable. You can't, the east and west never meet like the north and south do. Our distance from sin is massive because of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection. Romans 6 says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And this is what we've seen in the baptisms and what David explained last Sunday, and what we've seen here, they were united with Christ in their death as they went into the water, and thankfully to Brian and Christine, they were also united with them in the raising of his life, okay? We are in Christ, and that is good news, because there is new life this morning. We've seen new life here, we will continue to see new life. Perhaps you're here and you haven't yet been baptized, but you do really believe in God. Maybe it's time for you to take that step. The next baptism Sunday, you're going to be in that pool, ready to be united with Christ, taking on your new identity. Okay, on to S. We're doing well on time, so we can have a few guesses. We're going to see if someone hasn't guessed before. Right at the back. Saviour. Oh, that's so good. You're so small. That's a fantastic one. Next, Sophia. Yeah. Salvation. Also a great word to do with God. All these words we learn about in youth, so this is good for me that you know all these words. Think about a new identity. What is it about us now? We're with Christ. What did you say, Sharon? No, you're wrong. Ruva, sorry. You are, to be clear, you are definitely saved, just to say. But Ruva, sacrifice. Not quite, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, this is going worse than I thought it would. Okay. Yes. Sorry, I don't know. Souls? Fantastic try, but it's not quite right. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll give you the second letter. It's S-T. 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 You think you know? Strengthened. Fantastic. Yes, you got it. Fantastic. Or Maria, tell you what, Marie, you have to throw that back behind you. Okay, don't steal it. We are strengthened. Good throw. Verse 5 says that we are, your youth is renewed like eagles. When you're in Christ, you are strengthened. Now, I'm not that old, okay? I feel old, but I'm not that old. But I'm told by no specific individuals in the room. Is that especially when you do active tasks, as you get older, they become harder. That's why me and Matt did the baptistry, because some of the older leaders in the church can't quite get down and pull it back up again. Okay. And when they do, they also forget how it went back on in the first place, and then there's a swimming pool. Okay. But if you spin it like that, to be returned with your youth often looks like to feel strengthened, reinvigorated, re-energized. And actually, all the way throughout the Bible, we see being strengthened and the idea of eagles really closely. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." In our new identity with Christ, we are strengthened because we are renewed like eagles. It's also worth pointing out that as we walk the Christian life, we are told that God goes before us, behind us, and alongside us. What better person to be walking alongside than God in all the challenges of life? It's almost as if you're going to the gym with someone who looks really muscular and goes there all the time. They're going straight for the weight section. I think I just feel stronger walking alongside someone who goes to gym loads because they are strong in that scenario. Actually, God is strong in every scenario. As we walk through life, we are strengthened just by being alongside him. So when you're in Christ, you are strengthened. Okay, last one. Does anyone fancy a chance? I'm a bit nervous at the front. Trust, that's a great word. Not quite. I'm sorry, I don't even know your name. I'm sorry. Rosa? Rosie, well done, Rosie. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one at the end, I reckon, for trying. Okay, Rosie, you're getting an Easter egg. Okay, Abdul, you really had a go. Tim at the back? Transformed. Fantastic, you got it. Well done. Shall I go for the overarm throw? All the way over there? No, Tim, you can come and get it. I'm seeing a little bit of conversation around. Was that a shared answer? Or was that an individual? There you go. Well done. Transformed. Well done, Tim. We are transformed. In verse 3, it says we're forgiven. In verse 4, it says we're healed. In verse 6, it says we're redeemed and loved. In verse 11, it says we're righteous. In verse 12, it says we are away from sin. All of those words and all the words on the screen, that is a transformed person. Okay? When we're in Christ, we are transformed. And it's one of the most incredible things about when you fully encounter God, because you cannot go away unchanged. God is so incredible that when you meet him fully, you cannot leave unchanged. And the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection is lives being transformed. Mine's been transformed. The guys who have been baptized have been transformed. And we actually continue to be transformed more and more like Christ. It's the reality of our baptisms. They've declared that Jesus is Lord. They've already started to be transformed, but they will carry on because, in a sense, you've got the most incredible, exciting journey ahead of you as you walk through life in Christ and with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun." That's really important. The old has gone, new life has begun, and we are being transformed. Now that's a pretty spectacular picture of what it means to be in Christ. I know it's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour, but we are chosen. Well, you are chosen. You are being made holy. You are redeemed. You are in Christ. You are strengthened, and you are being transformed. That's already pretty incredible, right? But there was one point I wanted to make that I couldn't quite make fit in my poem, okay? The preach I'm preaching this morning is called You and Us. And as you came in, I know some of you wrote your names down, so you kind of know what's coming, okay? But we're talking about you, us, and the cross. What perhaps you didn't notice about that psalm is I referenced the personal language in the first 6 verses. I think if we go to the next slide, there's all the personal language in bold, okay? It says, my soul, my inmost being, goes on to your... You. If you go to the next 6 verses, we see a bit of a change in the language. We start to see the plural. We start to say, people of Israel, us, those, are. There's a really interesting shift in language that we see. Now, I need 3 volunteers. You can almost guess what the prize is. I tell you what, you 2 boys there, as you did such a great job, you can come up. I need 1 more person. Right at the back in the blue shirt, yeah, you can come as well. Right, I need you to, you can stay down here. You're going to hold up each letter. Don't show them this side yet, okay? So just hold it like that. This, I mean, I'm sure you can see, this spells out you, okay? So if you hold that one, okay, and you hold this one, and what I need you to do, I need to hold it as high as possible, okay? I actually want you to walk to the back corner, okay? Almost I want you to stay in order of the words. So, will my microphone still work if I walk around with them? Will my microphone still work if I walk around the room with them? Yeah? Okay, so let's go to the back corner. Come on, guys. Let's go around here. Okay. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry you can't see me. Okay. So. Okay, so if you stay here, then you come all the way across. So go behind him, and then, yeah, that's right, isn't it? My English isn't great, but that is right, okay? So the cross was needed for me and for you. Our sins were defeated on the cross, okay? Oh, fantastic. Hold it really high. Oh, not that side yet. Hold it that side. Fantastic, okay? The cross was needed for you and for me. Although lots of things were done on the cross, actually there was a personal nature that God loved you, and so it happened. If we treat it like a timeline of the room, what I need you to do, boys, is like sidestep towards the cross, okay? So we're just going to walk, and this is like the journey, there's a wall there, through time, okay? All the sins that were done were defeated on the cross. We see the chosen personal relationship. Now, if you stop here in front of the cross, this is a depiction of what Jesus died on, okay? There's a shift, though. Like there's a shift in the psalm, there's a shift to do with our identity. You see, if you now turn your letters around, what have we got on the other side? Yeah, if you spin yours as well. It still spells out you, but suddenly there's so many more names on it, okay? The cross still defeated the sins for you and for me and for everyone else. Now, as you walk past the cross, so we're now entering through our timeline even more, there's something that happens with an army of believers, the community of God, that's really important for our identity in Christ. Because we're no longer alone. We're not even, and if you carry on walking onto the stage, we're not even just us and God, but we're us, God, and the church of God, the community of believers across Bedford, England, and the whole world. That's really important for our identity because we're part of something bigger. There's something about the individual that is good, but also potentially dangerous. The kingdom of God is important in our identity because it's not all us-centric. Yes, we are chosen and holy in Christ, strengthened, redeemed, strengthened and transformed. My explanation isn't fantastic either, but we're also on this journey all together. We are a community of believers. Okay? And that is the joy of gathering on Sundays, gathering in the middles of the week. That's how we explore our identity more, by doing it alongside other people and journeying with each other. That's really important.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.